Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for the scriptures tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts and do the work that only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Am I good now? All right, great, good. All right, we've been covering the subject of the book of James on our Wednesday night series here for a while, so we'll kind of give a little bit of recap for those that are not usually in here and then go through our lesson for tonight. We're going to look at 5 points tonight, and we're covering the last two of those this evening about really success to the Christian life. You know, the keys and the success of the Christian life is not difficult to understand, but it's a lot of work to do it. You know, I don't think as a Christian, like, I don't know what to do. It's just things we know that we're supposed to do that takes the work to get that done. And again, if you circle or underline in your Bible, I encourage you to in a few points this evening. And the first point is to submit. In verse number 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submitting is yielding and putting yourself under the authority of God. And that is key to the Christian life, submitting yourself each and every day under God. The second would be this: resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you resist God, you walk in the strength of God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And when we're walking with God and yielding to God, we have strength with God to resist the devil. And each and every day, you're going to have to resist and fight the devil. Every day, you're going to have to fight the devil, fight the flesh, fight the world, trying to do what's right. You're going to have to keep fending off what is wrong and resisting the devil. Number 3, we looked at this last week, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Walking with God, spending time with God. You know that God desires to have fellowship with you and I each and every day? He desires a relationship. God didn't save us just to say, well, get out of my face and don't bother me now. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants a relationship. Salvation is something you can never lose. Eternal security is yours forever at the moment of your salvation. But that fellowship is that daily time with God, spending time with God in Bible and prayer. God desires to have fellowship with us. And then we're going to look at this today in the second part of verse number 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That shows that there is a progression of drawing nigh to God, but then the promise that he will draw nigh to you. You take that step to God and he promises he will draw nigh to you. But then as you do that, we'll look at the next part of this verse. The Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, the closer you draw to God, the more cleansing needs to be done. Why? Because God is holy. We serve a holy God. And the closer we get to God, the more of our impurities that God sees and that is shown that need to get right with him. You draw nigh to God, and there is a moment of repentance, of cleansing in our lives. And I want you to look at that the Bible gives two different parts to this cleansing. As you see it, it says, cleanse your hands, the exterior, the outsides of our life. And I don't know about you, but we're big at washing hands, especially this time of year. You know, wash your hands, you know, all the time. And I was trying to look up how many times someone washes their hands in a day. I have no idea. Wash your hands, cleanse them, clean them, use the hand cleaner, whatever you do. Cleanse your hands. You want to clean the outside, right? You don't want to get sick. You don't want to get hurt from all the junk going around. But then it continues on and it says this, cleanse your hands, you sinners. And then it says, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, we're good cleaning the outside, making sure the outside looks right. You know, I'm sure when you got ready today that you showered and cleaned and put on clean clothes and looked in the mirror and hopefully brushed your teeth, teenagers. I know it's Christmas break, but you can brush your teeth during Christmas break still. Amen to that. We work at cleaning the outside and making sure that looks presentable because you wouldn't go outside looking like a lot of people do go outside each and every day. You're like, really, that's what you chose. Great. But we work at cleaning the outside, making sure it's presentable. But many times the part that's the most important, the heart, the inside, the part that God sees. And guess what? Your inside affects the outside. The heart is going to affect the outside. They both affect each other, let's be honest. If your hands are not clean, your heart's not going to be clean. And if your heart is not clean, your hands aren't going to be clean either. So what is most important, to be clean on the inside or the outside? They're both important. The Bible says to cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. to purify, to cleanse, to make it clean. Why do we need to draw nigh to God? Because our sin has separated us from God. Why do we need to draw nigh? Because we're constantly distancing ourselves from God. Each and every day, our flesh, our spirit, this world is pulling us away from God, isn't it? And you have to work at pulling yourself closer to God, because that sin is separating us away. You think of kind of like a tug of war. And there's constantly a tug of war in your life between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is pulling us away from God, pulling us to the world. And then the spirit's trying to pull us to God. But you make the steps. You and I, we each make the steps to draw closer to God or to step further away from God. And guess what? That is done each and every day. Every day. But again, when you get closer to God, you realize that there is sin that separates us from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is he ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Our iniquities, our own sins, I can't blame it on anyone else, but my sins have separated me between me and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, when we keep allowing sin to pile up in our lives, it's keeping us from having a relationship with God. And that's why each and every day we cleanse our hands, we purify our hearts. Every day you get up, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. I think of this passage in regards to Solomon. Solomon, the son of David and chosen to be the next king of Israel. And God chose Solomon, and Solomon said, "I can't rule you, this great people. I can't do it, Lord. I need your help." And he said, "I come to you as a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in." And he humbled himself before God. And he said, "God, I need your help." And wouldn't that be a good place to come to God each day and say, "God, I need your help today." And as he came to God and said, "God, I need wisdom to rule your people." And God gave him wisdom and riches and power and all the things that came on after that. Solomon, the wisest man to walk on this earth, riches beyond imagination. You read about the riches of Solomon, and he was as rich as you could believe. He would put Elon Musk to shame how rich he was with all the gold and everything that he had. But something changed in Solomon's life. I want you to turn over to 1 Kings chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 11. Something changed in Solomon's life where he was humble, he was close to God, following the Lord, but then he started straying from God. You ever been there? Things were so good, and you just started sliding, and sometimes when you start sliding away from God, you don't even see it. Others see it. The Lord most definitely sees it, but we start sliding away from the Lord. And in 1 Kings chapter 11, the Bible says, "But Solomon," and many times when you see that, there's a change now. "Solomon was right with God, but Solomon loved many strange women." Look at verse number 2. It says, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. 700 wives, 300 concubines, and they started turning his heart away from the Lord." In verse number 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old. He started backing away from God in his older age, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the gods of the Zidonites, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And Solomon started walking away from God. Look at verse number 8. "And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods." Solomon, worshiping false gods, burning incense to false gods. In verse 9, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon." And if we realize when we draw nigh to God, the anger that God has for sin, it's amazing how we make a peace pact with our sin. And we say, "Well, this little sin's okay. It's not a big deal. I can handle it." But God is angry with our sin. He's angry with the righteous every day, the Bible says, because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. We won't read the rest of the verses, but as Solomon turned away from God, he ignored God's commandments, he followed sinful desires, and as an old man, he started turning away from God. God would then rend the kingdom and part it in two because of this decision. He would rise up adversaries that would fight against him the rest of his life because he had started walking away from God. Solomon would get right with God in his older age. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes can be a bit of a rough book to read in the sense that Solomon, for most of the book, is just vanity. All is vanity. It's a waste of life. What is this? But then he gets to the end of the book in Ecclesiastes 12, and Solomon turns back to God. And I'm thankful for the grace and the mercy of God that when we stray from God and we come back and say, God, I've sinned again, and we cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, and God said, I forgive you. And Solomon said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. The challenge he gives in his old age where he went around and said, it's a waste, this life. And it was. He was wasting his life away by his choice. And then in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the last verse, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. True repentance. What is repentance? Cleansing our hands and purifying our hearts. What is true repentance? You get to the end of the year, and maybe you're one of those people, you get to the end of the year, and you're like, clean out the house. You know, get it all straight, and the new year's coming, stuff's coming up. Maybe you're that person, or maybe you're the pack rat, and you're like, we'll do it in the spring or next year, or maybe my children can do it someday after I'm gone. Right? No, not amen to that one. What is true repentance? Cleansing your hands, purifying your heart. What is repentance? It is confession. Repentance is confession. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Man, how do we like covering our sins? I think no one sees, no one knows. But guess who always sees and knows? God does. You cover our sins, we're not going to prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See, confession is simply admitting to God, I have done wrong. Isn't it amazing how hard those words are to say sometimes? I'm sorry. To others, to God, say, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. But confession is this. Confession is specific. Confession isn't, Lord, I'm sorry if I did anything wrong today. Please forgive me for it. God's like, wow, he was really repentant for that. I felt it right here. Confession is specific. Not forgive me for all my sins. Specific. We sin specifically. We should confess specifically as well. Forgive me, Lord, for saying, if it was a bad word, don't repeat it. Lord, forgive me for saying this. Forgive me for that wrong spirit. Forgive me for what I did. Go through the list. You say, that might take a while. Well, then take a while getting it right with God. Confession should be specific. You know, someone wrongs you and they come back to you and say, I'm sorry. And you're like, for what? You're like, yeah, you didn't mean that at all. You're doing that one again. I'm sure of it. And God's probably thinking the same thing as well. When we come to the altar or time with God and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. God says, for what? Be specific with your confession. As David would say, search my heart, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. After you confess all your sins, God, did I miss anything? Confession should be specific. Confession should be immediate. You heard it before. Keep a short account with God. Don't let it build up. You say, but I don't have time to stop and pray. You have time to say, God, I'm sorry for that. Please help and forgive me. Correct my spirit. That wasn't right the way I responded. I shouldn't have looked that way. I shouldn't have listened. God, forgive me and correct it. Why? Because that sin throughout the day or till the next day or the next week can just build and build and build until you open that one door, that closet in your house that maybe doesn't want to open all the way or the drawer that gets stuck and you're like, how did all this get in there? Why? Because it piled up over time and it piled up and it piled up to where you got to get a knife in there to try to rig that thing open. Confession should be immediate. Don't let it build up. Confess and keep it a short account with God. Confession and then forsaking. Confess and say, God, I'm sorry, but then don't go right back to it. Forsaking it. I've got a great illustration for you that you're going to love tonight. Proverbs 26:11, it says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. If you have a dog, a pet, like, they're great. I'm never letting it lick my face. All right? Doesn't sleep in my bed. We don't share food. You know, that's not happening. Why? Because I see what they eat. Right? That's disgusting. As a dog returns to their vomit. I don't know why they do it, and I don't want to know why they do it, to be honest. But they'll eat disgusting things. Why? I'm not sure. But as God looks at us, when we sin, and there's just what looks to be vomit, just disgusting. Maybe you got a weak stomach and you can't quite handle it right now, Brother Mike. But then could you imagine going back to that again and think, oh, it looks so disgusting, but maybe it might be good the second time. But yet with our sin, how disgusting that is. What the effects of sin in our life, and we go back and think, oh, maybe this time, maybe I can make it work this time. That's as a fool returning to their folly. You ever see how they take the black light? You know, if I can just gross you out more. You know, you turn the light off and, you know, you think a room is clean and, you know, a hotel room, and they take the light around and you're like, oh, I didn't realize all that was in there. If we could let God take the light to our life and to shine it and to see what needs to be fixed, what needs to be clean, we go, oh, it looks great. And God says, no, it doesn't. Let me show you. And God shines the light in our life and said, I want to show you what needs to be confessed and forsaken and not coming back to it again. See, too many times we play games with our sin and we think it's fun and it's easy and it'll, you know, it'll be good. But God said, that's like a fool returning to the vomit. The Bible says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. We shouldn't be playing around with sin. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Keeping your heart and life right with God takes work every day and throughout the day. What is the effect of walking with God? Turn back to James chapter number 4, please. What happens when you submit to God and you resist the devil and you draw nigh to God and you cleanse your hands? In verse number 10, what is the result of those in our lives? And the fifth point really to successful Christian life. The Bible says in verse number 10, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. When you get close to God, that's a humbling experience, isn't it? When you come on your knees before God and you say, God, forgive me for my sin. I'm a wretched sinner. That's a humbling experience, isn't it? When you call out your sin, say, God, forgive me. You can't walk away like that in pride. You can't walk away like that and say, God, I can do this all on my own. You come out of that and say, God, I need your help. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. To humble yourself is to lower yourself, to not think highly of yourself. Humility is the opposite of pride. Pride is lifted up. I can do it on my own. I've got to figure it out. And God says, no, you can't. Without me, he says, you can do nothing. You can't do without me. You said, I've done it before and messed it up. Or for a while until you realize that you can't do without God. Lowering yourself. Humility. God cannot use someone that's prideful. God cannot use someone that's prideful. We have to be humble before God. You think, I'm not talented, but are you humble? But I don't have a lot to offer God. Can you humble yourself and say, God, I don't have much to offer, but I give you all that I have today. I give you my day, my time, my money, my family. I give you everything humbly before you, God. It's all yours. I can't make a decision on my own. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient to death, the Bible says, even the death of the cross. Jesus came as a servant. He came in the likeness of man. He humbled himself to come to this earth to die and to pay for our sins. What an incredible example that God would come and take on human flesh, perfect, sinless, but he humbled himself to be a man, to be God at the same time, and to face the death of the cross. What humility he faced. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. You know the verses, but I want to read them together, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. humbling ourselves. Jesus gave us the example of humility. But then we're also commanded to be humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, you know the verses. The Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. We looked at submission already. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Clothed, to put it on. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves, to be clothed with humility, to put on clothing, to have the sight of being humble in the sight of God and man. The Bible says, why? Because God resisteth the proud. Pride. You see that person, that they're just walking in pride. You know that person, they're just so full of themselves. What does it make you want to do? You're just like, ugh. Oh, brother, that person, just yuck, right? But God, to look at human flesh and say, God, I can do it without you. And God say, really? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And don't we serve a mighty God? To humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, and the last few words, in due time. Too many people are looking to lift themselves up, make a name for themselves with their money, with their looks, their possessions. And God says, humble yourself. Why? So that he may exalt you in due time. George Mueller started an orphanage in Bristol, England, and housed over 10,000 orphans over the years. He established 117 Christian schools to train over 120,000 young people. Just used greatly. Incredible man of faith. If you've never read the story of George Mueller, incredible man of faith. He would pray for food. They'd sit down to eat. They'd pray in food and bread and milk. They'd pray in it, and people would just send it there. Incredible man of faith. And he was asked the secret of his service. And Mueller responded, there was a day when I died, utterly died to George Mueller. His opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame, even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I've studied to show myself approved only to God. He didn't have a name for himself to think, well, look at all that I've built. Look what I've established. Looked at everyone that I've helped. Instead, he humbled himself, and he said, I only care about the opinion of God. I couldn't do this without the help of God. And he humbled himself. Have you humbled yourself before God? You look at those 5 points again. To submit to God. Put yourself under the authority of God. God doesn't force us to obey. You have to submit. Put yourself under his authority. And then second, to resist the devil. To fight the devil each and every day. Why? Because he will fight you. The devil will come at you each and every day. And then draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to get closer to God every day in Bible and prayer, spending time with God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Getting things right with God every single day, throughout the day. And then humbling yourself before God, and he shall lift you up. Success to the Christian life. You think those points aren't hard to understand, but every day it takes work, doesn't it? The Christian life, it takes work every day. You ever start the day and it seems like it's going so good, and then how it changes so quickly sometimes. It can change in a moment. But say, God, help me again. When you fail and you come back to God, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And every day, it seems like we start separating from God, and then you got to work at getting close to God again. You start getting away from God, and you've got to choose to get close to the Lord again. And when you get close to God, you say, God, would you cleanse me? Would you forgive me? Would you heal me? And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. The Bible says, from all unrighteousness. And then you humble yourself under God. Humbling is listening to God and following God. Listening to God. God, what do you want me to do? Yes, God, that's what I'll do today. What do you want, Lord? That's what I'll do. And humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord.